Go back with me to Jeremiah 30 now. Jeremiah chapter 30. Look at verse 7 again. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas. That's always an exclamation or a word like a great groan. Alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. We've been looking at Jacob, and we know what a sinner he is. And God's people are like Jacob, sinful people, but elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And they all go through trouble. Constant trouble. From the day that the Lord reveals Himself to them, they all go through trouble. Man that is born of woman, who is an unclean thing, is a few days and full of trouble. We go through, first of all, every son of Jacob, everyone God loves, everyone God chose, everyone that God saves, gets in trouble with God. They first realize, I'm in trouble with God because of this trouble within called sin. And that's a trouble you never lose completely. This trouble with sin, this struggle. Jacob had it, all of God's people do. They struggle with sin and often feel in trouble with God again. And again, and again, as Jacob was. They have trouble with this enemy, an adversary that they can't see. But he's very real. The world doesn't go through these troubles. David wrote that in Psalm 73. They're not in trouble, as other men. They don't have my troubles, David said. Why? Because they're not God's sheep. Sheep are prey to the predator. And God's people are in a world of trouble. This world is not their home. I hope you read the article by Philpott. If not, read it. Because this, not his words, but our Lord's, he said, of his people, they are not of this world. He said, if you were of your world, of the world, the world would love its own. But because you're not, he said, they'll hate you. And you'll be a prey to the world, a prey to the adversary, our devil, and filled with trouble because of sin, because of the enemy within, and often feel like you're in trouble with God. Real, deep soul troubles. In verse 5, it describes these troubles as a woman in travail with a child. And it says, even men, all sons of Jacob, all God's people, every one of them, men and women, women and men, male and female, are all going to go through this trouble as in travail with birth. And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. When this new creature is being created within a sinful son of Jacob, they are like Rebekah of old, who said, who knew God was blessing her, and yet there were two manner of men within her. And she said, if you're blessing me, why do I have this constant struggle within? This warfare within. Two men fighting all the time, and it never ends in this life. And this is when the trouble begins, and this is when the gospel begins to be good news. It's only good news to those in trouble. Or those who have been gotten out of trouble and get back in it. Like Jacob. It says in verse 5, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That's the triune God. The triune God. We have heard. Verse 6, ask, have you ever heard of this? A man travails with child. Why do we see men with their hands on their loin like a woman in travail and the blood drained out of their face and they're leaning over like this? It's this great day of trouble. When the Word of God comes, when the seed of God is planted in that dead heart and brings forth life, a new creature created in the image of Christ, then there's this struggle. A time of trouble. But Israel will be saved out of it. He'll be saved. And verse 8, it says, I'm going to break his yoke. He's been under bondage. People have been using him. I'm going to deliver him from all this. He's going to serve. He served himself all these years. Now he's going to serve the Lord his God. And he's going to have a king over him, reigning and ruling. Even my king, David, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he says, I'll save him. O my servant Jacob, fear not. Fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed. We had to sing that hymn, didn't we? Dismayed means to be so full of fear and fright and worry and doubts that you lose all courage and all hope and any hope whatsoever that you're a child of God. He says, oh, be not dismayed. Why? I will save thee. And he goes on down to talk about how you can't save yourself. And he tells, verse 12, he says, your bruise. See, here's the problem. Your bruise is incurable. Your wound is grievous. You have this thing in you called sin that you inherited and you commit it. And it's seemingly incurable, isn't it? It will never go away. That's what David said. My sin is ever before me. It just will not go away. I am incurable. What David said. The wound is grievous. The wounds that we incur that are done to us and the wounds we cause others are grievous, aren't they? So grievous. We hurt. People hurt us and we hurt people. And it's going to go on. In verse 13, you look for help in various places, but there's none. Even your friends leave you. David, they felt that, and all of God's people do. And that thou mayest be bound up, there's no healing medicine. All your lovers, you remember Gomer? She had all these friends in the world, she thought. All these people she turned to for help. And when she got in trouble with God, and he brought her down to see her true self. Like the prodigal son brought him down so far to where even his old buddies would have nothing to do with him. That's a good place to be, really. And he goes on to say in verse 14, I have wounded me. God said this. I'm the one that did this. With the hand of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. Everything that befalls God's people, though it be people that do it, though it be people that are the means, though evil men and people hurt and things hurt. God did it. God did it. So I, the Lord, do all these things. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all this. I wound and I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. I did this. I brought this upon you. Don't blame people and things. Read on. It's because of the multitude of thine iniquity, verse 14. Because your sins were increased. And this is chastisement, so it is. If you be without it, we're as bastards. We're not his sons. We've got to have it. Why? Because we're sinners all the days of our lives. We play the prodigal not once. And I emphasized over and over every time we read, we said, I'll bring Judah again. I kept emphasizing that. Again. You know how many times Israel got in captivity? Over and over and over. It just didn't start in Exodus. It went on all the way through, didn't it? They were in captivity all the time. When our Lord Jesus Christ came, they were in captivity. As are we. We're in this world and captive to sin and Satan and the world and in trouble and because of our sins. And he said in verse 15, why criest thou for thine affliction? Your sorrow is incurable, the multitude of thine iniquity. Over in Lamentations, turn there with me, Lamentation, real quickly. It's right after Jeremiah, not far away. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Look at verse 22. Just read a few verses with me. See, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. In other words, that we're not consumed by the world, that we're not consumed by sin, that God, who's a consuming fire, doesn't consume us. It's of His mercies. Because our sins testify against Him. And because His compassions fail not. He says, well, fear not, Jacob. This is to Jacob. You'll not be consumed. They're new every morning. Why? Because we wake up sinners. We go to bed sinners. We wake up sinners. But His, thank God, His mercies are new every morning in Christ. The blood is always before the Lord. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. And on down, it says in verse 26, it's good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This Judah and Jacob or Israel couldn't find it anywhere else because it is nowhere else. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 20 says, it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, that the Lord would save our children at an early age. And that He would put the yoke of Christ on them. That He would put them in trouble early. I told you the other night, you know, how I so fear and worry about those who sit under the gospel year after year after year after year and not convicted of sin and make no confession of faith in Christ. It's good to bear the yoke in the youth. And to tell me about, well, we were talking about one of our real young girls in here that reads the scriptures, and I thought, oh, it's not beyond the Lord. It's not, the Lord is able to save the youngest. He's done it before. Let's pray to that end. That He bear the yoke in their youth. Verse 28, He sits alone. When the Lord, this trouble begins, you sit alone, you keep silence because the Lord is mourning upon you. Put your mouth in the dust. That's where our mouths belong. God's in heaven. We're on the earth. Let your words be few. Maybe there's hope. Verse 30, He giveth His cheek to him that smiteth him. Why? Let the righteous smite me, David said it. I need it. filled full with reproach, because we've given enough reproach, we've caused enough reproach, and we ought to be reproached. Christ said, "The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on thee." The Lord will not cast off forever, though. You're going to feel like a cast out. That's what he said there in Jeremiah 30, verse 17. He said, "Those that are called cast outs, he's outcast. No, he ain't coming back." He said, they laughed and said, this is a believer. This is a Christian. This is Zion. This is one of God's people. Look at him now. Look at him. No. Yeah. Yeah. And watch what you say. Judge nothing for the time. Read on. It says here in Lamentations 3, though he caught, verse 32, though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. He doth not afflict willingly. That is, he doesn't enjoy our pain and our suffering, nor grieve the children of men. We bring grief on ourselves and others. He doesn't delight to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. No, he doesn't. That's not what he delights in. He delights to show mercy, not crush people. He could have crushed, should have crushed all of us long ago, shouldn't he? Down in verse 39, wherefore doth the living man complain, a man, for the punishment of his sins? He hath not dealt with us after our sin, has he? He hath not rewarded us according to our iniquity, has he? Oh no, we've received of the Lord's hand double for all our iniquity. He's dealt with us not as an enemy, but as sons whom he loves and he will chasten. You've got to be brought low if you get too high. You've got to be chastened if you get too rebellious. You've got to... Out of the Most High shall it not proceed evil and good. Let us search, verse 40, try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto the heavens. We've transgressed and rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. You've covered us with anger. But if you go on down, it says in verse 55, I called on the name of thy name, O Lord. You know, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Whoever, whenever, doesn't matter. It's never too late. It's never too early, and it's never too late to call on the name of the Lord, because he said, whosoever shall call. Have you ever called because you were lost? Have you ever called because you were shut out of the house or something? Have you? I've been shut out, whether intentionally or accident, I don't know. But at any rate, the point is, if you're outside and you want in, you will not quit calling. That's what it means to call. And people, it's not a one-time thing, because and if somebody's not saved, they have not called on the name of the Lord. They have not called. Not called. Just because he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord. Savior, Lord, our righteousness. I don't have any. Mediator, I need help between me and God. And on it goes. Whosoever shall call. And he said there in Lamentations, he said, he heard my cry. And he drew near, and I called, and he said, verse 57, he drew near unto me, and I when I called on him, and he said, hear not. No, be not dismayed. You know how often he keeps telling Jacob to fear not. You know, we get ourselves in such a mess, into captivity. The first three verses, he says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. If you're one of the Lord's, if you're one of his people, if you're a son of Jacob, God will send His Word through a preacher. And you'll be so glad. And He'll preach all the counsel of God. He'll start with the trouble we're in with God. That's where He'll start. Look at you, Jacob. He's not going to tell you what a good person you are. He's not going to tell you how, you know, smile, God loves you. No, He's angry. He has a right to be, doesn't he? That's what He's going to say. Until He finds out that you're in trouble. And boy, Jeremiah, you know, he wept and he wept and he wept because the people were just going on in idolatry and in the world and didn't give a care. They'd forsaken God and they were in captivity and actually didn't know it until it got real bad. And Jeremiah did as a faithful watchman. He kept telling them, the Scripture says, rising up early and telling them all the time. And they got in deep trouble, and then they started calling on the Lord. And Jeremiah was glad when he heard that. You're in trouble. Well, good. Because whoever's in trouble, here's what it says. He shall be saved out of it. He said, the days will come. You know, before the trouble came, he says, they're going to go into trouble. I'm going to bring him again. I'm going to bring him out of captivity. I'll cause them to return to the land. They left, and I'm going to bring them back. And they'll possess it. It's theirs by promise. It's theirs by purchase by the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to them. They didn't do anything to purchase it, but His Son did. And He'll have what's His. Christ will have what's His. Down in verse 10, He says, I'll save them from afar. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, haven't we? Turned every man to his own way. And we get so far off, don't we? We feel like we're so far off. We've done it again. And we've done it again. Now look at it. Ain't no hope for us now. If I come back, surely He's not going to have me. You get so far off, you think you can't get back. But our Lord said, I will save them from afar. No matter how far they go, the great shepherd of the sheep leaves the 99 and goes after one. Is one sheep worth it? Yes, He is. His Word is at stake. His love is at stake. His power is at stake. His promises are at stake. Because none of them that have ever trusted in Him, no matter how far off,
it hadn't been a one He hadn't gone back to get.
And put it on His shoulders again. There you are, sheep. Look at you. Look at you. He picks it up on His shoulders. Takes it home again. Again and again. The wandering sheep. In the story of the Samaritan, we'll turn there in a minute. It says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He shouldn't have left Jerusalem. Jericho's a bad place. You know that? Represents the world. The Lord cursed Jericho. He said, I'm going to tear it down one day and I'll never build it again. It's a cursed place. When the Lord was on this earth, He healed one man going in, Zacchaeus, and healed a blind man going out. And He didn't heal one person inside that city. He bypassed it because it's such a wicked place. But He had a certain man going in, and a certain man coming, and a certain man going. And it says this prodigal son, this certain man left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho and fell in among thieves. Fell in among thieves. He became just like them. Until it was too late and they abused him and left him for dead. Until he was as one that was half dead.
And I'm here to tell you, folks, half dead is better than dead.
Christ said, I would that you were cold or hot. Cold's good. It means it's a sign of life. It means you need warmth. Hot's better. But cold's good. Lukewarm, when you don't have a care. You know, when everything's just right, temperature's just right in your room, what are you going to do? You're going to go to sleep. But if it's too cold, you can't sleep. Too hot. Lukewarm's bad. It's a sign of... I can't tell you. The Lord said that. He said it's like warm drink. Detestable to me. Lukewarm. How could anybody be lukewarm? And we do. We all become that way. How could we be lukewarm to what our Lord did for us? Or cold. But He said, I'm going to bring them again. I'm going to cause them to return. And I love this in verse 4 and 5. Of course, 5 says, we have heard. The Father's heard. He hears every voice. Every sinner that calls on Him, the Father hears it. The Son hears it. The Holy Spirit hears it. We've heard, all three of us. The triune God. That's who's speaking here. We have heard, what? A voice of trembling, fear, no peace. We've heard it. And you know what the Father says? He says to the Son, go die for Him. Go live for Him. Go speak to Him. He says to the Holy Spirit, round them up. Bring them back. Convict them. Convince them. Make them feel like they're lost. Make them feel like they're cast out. Make them feel like they don't belong. Then show them that they do. So maybe they won't run off again. Trouble. It says our bruise is incurable. Our wound is grievous. No help anywhere else. You look for it anywhere and you can't find it. Why? Because there's only one balm in Gilead. Only one. Only one to turn to. And in verse 11 he says, I'm with them to save them. I'm going to make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. I'm not done with you. No, I will correct thee, though, in measure. Oh, He hadn't dealt with us hardly, but in mercy. But I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Why should a man complain for the punishment of sin? Shouldn't. And he goes on down to say in verse 16, those that have devoured you, your adversaries, every one of them, I'm going to come take them captive. I'm going to lead captivity captive. Those that spoil you, be a spoil. I'm going to parade them down the halls of glory to see what I've done. This is Christ speaking, what He does for His people. They that prey upon thee, I will give for a prey. I will restore health unto thee. I'll heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they thought you were an outcast. But no. Verse 18, I'll bring you again. I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have mercy. And I'll build you up on your own heap. You're going to get such a mess. Such a broken down mess. A heap of sin and corruption. And the Lord says, I'm going to just build you up again. Set you on a hill. In the palace. You'll put in the palace. Once again, like a beggar off a dung heap. Sit among princes and you'll remain there. You're going to remain there. You're going to be afraid to leave the house. And he goes on to say, thanksgiving and merriment after that, and I multiply you and I glorify you and your children. You know, the Lord saves sinners, and He often saves sinners, sinful sons of sinners. I know. I'm one. And I'm going to cause him, whoever engages his heart to approach unto me, I'll bring them near. Because they're my people. I'm being your God. Look at Luke chapter 10 in closing. Luke chapter 10. This is the whole story that our Lord gave of this one who's in deep trouble and seemingly no hope. Luke chapter 10. This is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Samaritan. Verse 30. It says, Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment. He became naked. And he thought, I have no covering now. I have no hope. I'm just a sinner through and through. God knows it. Men know it. He's wounded. Deeply wounded, it says. That wound is grievous. That bruise is incurable. And they departed, these friends, so-called, of his, departed and left him half dead. And then some people came along. By chance, in his misery and trouble, there's a fellow, a priest, came by. And he saw him and just passed by. On the other side. This speaks of those who, you know, try world's counselors and religion. And likewise, a Levite, he was at the place, came and looked on him. This is a self-righteous Pharisee, looks at him and said, well, I just thank the Lord I'm not like him. And he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. Now, Samaritan is a half-breed. Samaritan is both Jew and Gentile. Two men. That certain Samaritan is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. God and man. A certain one. As he journeyed, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Savior of sinners, came into this earth for a journey to save his people from their sin. And he came where he was. He came where that fellow was. Where was that? Down in the ditch. By the wayside. That's where he came. He came where he was. And this man is so wounded and half dead, he's unconscious. And he can't see the Samaritan. But it says he saw him. Like the child in the field. I saw you in your corruption, in your blood. Oh, it was a time of love. Why did this Samaritan stop? He had compassion on this fellow. He was a man full of love and compassion. And he looked on this poor fellow lying in a ditch. And he looked on him with mercy and compassion and love. He felt love for him. And love does something. Love doesn't wait on... Love does something. And it says he went where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. He showed compassion to him. He did what was needed for him. What did he do? He went to him. See, the Lord doesn't wait on us to come. He says, I'll bring them. I'll bring them. I'll go. They wandered afar. And I'm going to go after them. He leaves them and goes after them until he finds it. And when he had found him, he says he went to him. What does he do? He bound up his wounds. Oh, that wound is grievous. It's deep. Yep. This physician is able to bind up the deepest wounds. You know, sin has left some deep, deep scars in us, in our minds, in our hearts, haven't it? That we feel like will never, ever be undone. There's only, but there's something that will bind it up. Close up that deep wound.
By His wounds, we're healed.
By His stripes, He was wounded for our transgression. And He pours in the oil and the wine of the gospel of what Christ did for sinners. Oil of His Spirit, the wine of His blood, binds up these wounds and says, yes, you brought this upon yourself. Yes, you fell in among thieves. Yes, you were no different than them. But I love you. But I will not let you go. Oh, I love that passage in Jeremiah. The Lord says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I give thee up? I won't. How shall I give thee up? You quit me, I'll not quit you. Coming after you. Coming after you. Coming to where you are. Lord, send thy spirit to round him up. Set him on his own beast. Set him on his own beast. Brought him to an end. He was lying in the ditch. That's where he belonged. But no, this is one of the sons of Jacob. And he brought him to an end. A haven of rest. And took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, verse 35, he took out 2 pence. Gave them to the host, the fellow who was in charge of the inn. He said, this is what you need to do. And I'm commanding you to do this. I've given you everything needful for this fellow's restoration and healing. Here's what you do. You take care of him. You feed him. You comfort him. You act like nothing ever happened. In fact, you tell him that you've done the same. And the Lord did the same for you. And you heard an innkeeper tell you, it's all right. I'm here to take care of you. And whatever you spend, I'll repay you when I come again. You take care of my own. It was lost, but now it's found. It was blind, but now sees. It fell in with thieves. You know, Christ came to save thieves, didn't he? Not all of them, but some of them. Bring him into them into his paradise. And I'll pay you again. I'll pay you again. Oh, bless the Lord. Are you in trouble? If not, I hope the Lord will put you in trouble. Let me ask you something. What happened to you when the Lord revealed Himself to you? What happened to you? How were you saved? If you are, what happened? Can you tell me? Was it a time of trouble? You've never been in trouble with God. You don't know God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All men and women are in trouble with God. Deep trouble. Big trouble. And it's the mercy and grace of God to reveal to us what we are. And the trouble we're in. And reveal to us and put us low. Bring us low. To where we cry out. Save me. I'm in trouble. I've got this sin trouble. And if that's never happened, you don't know God. You don't know God. You've never called on the name of the Lord to deliver you from your sin. You don't know God. If you've never felt the far off and an outcast, and undeserving, unworthy of His mercy, you don't know God. The Lord hadn't revealed Himself to you. Because what the Lord says of this man is true of every single son of Jacob that he loved. Every single one. What the Lord said of that man that was in the ditch, He says of every single one that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to save. And if the oil and the wine of the gospel is not a balm to you, then you've never been in trouble. Never been in trouble. And if he's done that for you, if you've really felt like you were lost and undone, and you saw what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, you will confess Him. You will get in that pool and confess Him. You have to. That's what love does. That's what love does. But if you haven't, our Lord said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Spew you out of my mouth. Done with you. So I pray that the Lord will put you in trouble. Trouble. And not let you out until you see Christ. All right. Brother John, come and we'll sing number 267. 267. Let's stand.